Thank you. Thank you. And Pastor, thank you so much for the honor of being able to do this tonight. I really don't take this opportunity lightly. So first things first, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this night. Thank you, Lord, for the work you are doing in and through this church, Lord. Lord, thank you for transformation of our minds, that we may know you more and more, that you are working to heal us, restore us, rebuild us, and refresh us. You are so good, God, and we are grateful for you. Help each of us through your Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and minds to what you have for us tonight. Amen.
Way to go, Sue. You got this.
Do you really think you got something important to say? What makes you think they want to hear what you got to say?
Who are you, Men in Black? I don't see any aliens around here, so why don't you go back to where you belong?
Whoa.
So I want to talk to you tonight about foundations, specifically the foundation of your spiritual life. Now, we all know that if you're building anything, you need a firm foundation, a firm base. The Bible talks about the Messiah, Jesus, as the cornerstone, the foundation on which we build our lives. And just so we're all on the same page, a cornerstone is the first stone set in the building of a foundation. All other stones will be set in reference to this stone, determining the position of the entire structure. Now, some of you may have that perfectly structured spiritual life on that firm foundation. Maybe you've done well in your building, taken your time and done things right. You may have a beautiful foundation. God bless you. Others of us, well, our foundation may have a tiny crack in it, or it may be a bit more significant, or it may be how I feel some days. So you all know I love to laugh and have fun, but just for a minute, let's be serious. There is no messing around when it comes to the foundation that we build our spiritual lives on. If we build our lives on anything but Christ, the outcome can be tragic. Look at some of these homes that were built on sinkholes. And I want you to get that picture in your head. When we build our spiritual lives on anything that is not of Christ, it can be tragic. So the question is, what are you building your life on? A flimsy base or a firm foundation? And is Christ the cornerstone for your foundation? God says in Isaiah 28:16, "Listen carefully. I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for the secure foundation firmly placed. He who believes, who trusts in, relies on, and adheres to that stone will not be disturbed or give way." Sing it with me. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Thank you, Pastor. All other ground is sinking sand. Yep. Oh, thank you. Wait, it didn't say pause for applause there. So, but yet we still build on sinking sand. So why is it so hard to build on Jesus, our cornerstone? Why do we build on that sinking sand when we have Jesus available to us as that firm foundation? Well, I would propose to you tonight that one of the reasons is we have ungodly beliefs. So how do ungodly beliefs relate to our foundation? So glad you asked. I recently read this description of ungodly beliefs. It said that ungodly beliefs are like spiritual termites that quietly work behind the scenes, undermining and eating away at the faith established within us. Ungodly beliefs are those that are not built on God's word. Ungodly beliefs undermine and eat away at the faith established within us. But the good news is, as the Holy Spirit begins to sanctify our minds, our belief system begins to change from a mixture of mostly ungodly beliefs to more and more godly beliefs. Our hope is to be transformed into the image of Christ, having only godly beliefs. As the scripture says, that transformation comes by the renewing of our minds. This is the work of the Holy Spirit within us, the work that God is doing. And as our minds become renewed, we begin to think more and more like God. We become more aware of how he looks at things, and we begin to build on that firm foundation, as the scripture says, that will not be disturbed or give way. Our beliefs affect our identity, how we perceive ourselves, how we relate to others, to the world around us, and to God. Ungodly beliefs are like a vice grip putting tight constraints on our lives. choking out the abundant life that Jesus promises. For me, these ungodly beliefs are like old tapes that play in my head. So tonight, you're in for a real treat. I have brought a few ungodly beliefs from my personal collection to share with you. A few of my all-time favorites that have been with me for years.
Look at them having a great time. I wish I had friends like that.
What are you, crazy? Remember the last time you tried to make friends?
Oh, yeah, I slipped on that stupid banana peel. Who puts a banana peel on the floor anyways, am I right? And then I found that stupid trash can on the floor, and I could not get that smell out of my coat for weeks. No wonder they didn't want to be my friends.
Actually, that's not true. They tried to call you a few times after that night, but you made up a crazy excuse that you had to wash your hair.
No, that's not right. They're just feeling sorry for you because you're alone all the time. You look depressed. You know, they're just doing the good deed of the day. And then remember the smell in your clothes? The smell lasted for a whole week.
I was desperate. Still am, I guess.
Just give them a chance. Who knows? Things could turn out different this time, and they could be some really great friends.
I don't want to open myself back up for rejection again.
You didn't get rejected last time.
It's no use.
So who wins when we think like that? Yeah. I remember years ago the first time I even thought about going to a ladies' Bible study. You know what I imagined I would find there? Do you remember Mama Fratelli from the Goonies? Yep, that's what I imagined. And snooty old prim and proper reserve ladies. Or the rich housewives, of course. And I definitely, I would imagine that I'd feel less than. Well, this definitely was not a very solid way of thinking. I knew that, but I didn't know why I was reacting that way. I knew it was in my head, but I wasn't exactly sure what was happening. So the first thing I needed to do was to identify that ungodly belief. Now, this may sound simple, but for me, the feeling of not belonging or rejection was a core belief I grew up with. I received and made my own, even without realizing it. Since these ungodly beliefs were planted in the very core of my being, I didn't even question whether they were true or not, whether they were ungodly beliefs or not. So, if you are a complex woman like myself, or you have difficulty identifying those ungodly beliefs, I would suggest you start with Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know what God showed me when I started to pray like that? He showed me that I was anticipating rejection. I was expecting it. Not only expecting rejection, but having my response ready for when it happened. I had it all worked out how if I got uncomfortable in ladies' Bible study, I would do a pretty woman on them. I had a script in my head, and I would show them. God really showed me clearly this ungodly belief I had, that I would never belong, I would always be rejected. And on a side note, if you want to dig into this more, I'm going to point you to a podcast on the City Church website from Thursday, March 8th, from my friend Amy Vineyard, an excellent message about evaluating our thoughts. Amy is, yeah, she's on the left.
Left hand red. Whose idea was it to play Twister anyways? Hey, you want to join?
Looks like fun, but I don't know.
Come on, we're having so much fun.
No, you don't want to get tangled up in that mess. If you do, they might want to talk about it.
Because that's what good friends do. They see you struggling and they ask you about it.
No, that's not true. They wouldn't even understand the situation that you're in. They'll just end up judging you for it.
I'm just going to head to bed.
Well, if you change your mind, we'll still be here.
Listen, he just wants you to keep struggling. He knows that if you open up and talk to them, that you're going to get the godly advice that you need. You don't have to walk through it alone.
No, that's not true. Again, they're not going to understand. You know, you should just go through this on your own. You're doing pretty good as it is, right?
Yeah, I'm doing fine on my own. I don't need them. If I tell them, that's all they'll think about when they look at me, and I'm better off on my own.
Yes, you are.
So who wins when we think like that?
Right.
So we said the first thing we need to do is identify the ungodly belief. The second thing we need to do is fill it with scriptural truth. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So in order to do this, we need to know the Word. The Bible is filled with everything you need to know. It's all in there. Now, I remember as a new believer, I came across an old Bible that was a family hand-me-down. It was an old King James Version, you know, a remnant from our ancestors. That was for you, Judy. I declared that I was going to read the Bible from front to back, cover to cover. I think I made it through Genesis and part of Exodus because I had seen the Ten Commandments. So a lot of it made sense. But when I got to the building directions of the tabernacle, well, "Thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen and blue and purple and scarlet, and thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make, and thou shalt couple..." Oh, and then they talk about the ram's skin dyed red, a covering over the badger's skin. "And thou shalt make the boards for the tabernacle." And if you understand this, 20 boards on the south side southward. Okay, so on and on it goes. And I say all that to say that some things in the Bible are hard to understand. And at one point, I thought this stuff was useless until I started to get around great teachers of the Word. The Bible is much more than words in a book. It is alive and active. Yes, amen. What looked like ridiculous instructions and measurements to me years ago now looks like a loving God helping to establish a new nation of Israel, teaching them the importance of carefully following his direction and instruction, that they may be able to experience his presence and understand his desire to be with them. Yes, amen. Okay. All right, I'll take it. But that growth in the area of understanding Scripture has come through being around people who know more than me. Jeremiah 3:15 says, "I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will lead you in knowledge and understanding." God promises to give us people who will follow him that are filled with a knowledge and understanding. I have been blessed with God-honoring leaders in my life, those who are good examples and bring us God's wisdom. From Pastor Marty to Pastor Ryan to Pastor Aaron, Pastor Chuck, and Pastor Vern, since you're here tonight, you too. They have all helped me, and probably you too, in gaining a deeper understanding. But small groups and Bible studies for me, that is where it's at. Connecting with those, my Monday Night Ladies Bible study teacher, Kathy Cervone. I can't talk about her, I'll start crying. So Chuck Wood on Thursday nights, I cry over him too. And Brad T on Sunday mornings. So you know what all that has led to is amazing friendships with some godly people. And where's my ladies? Yes, Monday night, 6 p.m. next door. Yeah. So we have a deep desire to be connected to other people, yet many of us are afraid of connecting with others. We've been burned, hurt, or rejected at one time or another. And at some point in our lives, we've been convinced that no one wants to get to know us or enter into relationship with us. So we stay isolated, lonely, and hurting. And the enemy jumps on that way of thinking and uses it to separate us from the body of Christ. Ryan talked about it a few weeks ago. God knew of our need for connectedness from the beginning. We read in Genesis that Adam was placed in the perfect environment with direct access to God, but God knew it wasn't good for Adam to be alone, so he created Eve. We are not designed to be alone. We need each other.
Wow, what an inspirational message. Being great.
Yeah, I really love the point that was made about breaking through the things that keep holding you back.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, being great, I could be great. I mean, come on, make Stephanie great again.
Yeah, all right. We'll catch you later.
Okay, see ya. Make me great.
Did you hear the way she said great? You? Okay. Jenna said, yeah, right? It's just ridiculous.
Don't listen to his nonsense. God can make you great and use you for some great things.
Yeah, I guess you could be great at screwing up your whole life again. I mean, you already proved that to us.
I mean, I guess I go on the good path and I always end up in the wrong again. I'm just a screw up.
You're not a screw up. God has given you unique gifts to use for his kingdom. He's wiped away your past and given you a clean slate.
just don't want to disappoint. I'm just a big disappointment.
Yeah. So who wins when we think like that?
Got him.
So first we have dug up the lie. Number two, we filled it with scriptural truth. And the third thing we need to do is walk it out. I know that God alone is my resource, and all growth comes by grace through him. But I am responsible to make the choice to obey him. It's up to me to walk that out. Years ago, we did a Beth Moore study titled Believing God, and she drilled into us the importance of believing God, especially when he tells us who we are. That ungodly belief about rejection and not belonging, not feeling like I am good enough, can only be conquered by understanding who I am in Christ and choosing to believe that I am who God says I am. So what does that look like, walking it out? For me, walking it out is through continued communication with God throughout the day, my morning quiet time, listening to praise music, worshiping, and carrying around index cards to remind me of who I am. I love my cards. I choose to believe I am greatly loved by God. I am his elect, full of mercy, kindness, and humility. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath, something like that. My favorite, Ephesians 1 says, I am blessed, chosen, adopted, accepted, redeemed, and forgiven. And just to be clear, these aren't words just to recite and poof, life is good. Changing those habitual thought patterns isn't easy. Willpower is seldom enough. It'll take us far, but we often find ourselves slipping back into old ways of thinking. Logic and reason don't work in this kind of spiritual battle. The truth is, we cannot of ourselves change. But if we take that step, start to walk it out, he will be with us. God wants to walk it out with us. Amen. So I don't know where you are today in your walk with the Lord. Maybe you're pondering the thought of surrendering your life to Jesus. That's the first step in this whole journey. That's where it starts. An ungodly belief would have you thinking, yeah, but you don't know what I've done and where I've been and how damaged I am. And you're right, I don't. But he does, and he loves you anyway. Amen. And just so you know, we've all been there. We're all born sinners. Everybody has something. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not cleanse us a little bit, not only our minor sins, but all unrighteousness. Amen. And here's the other thing. God wants relationship with us. His word says so. Isaiah 43:25 says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. He wants relationship with us. Or maybe you feel like you are a solid rock. You may say, I'm good, I have it all together. God can work on the big problems of the world, the third world countries. I'll keep doing my own thing, I'm good. You think you don't need God. Ding, 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 ungodly belief alert. I would challenge you to ask God to search your heart. Because if you're thinking like that, you probably have stopped growing, which may mean you have stopped God from working in you. Paul says in Philippians 1:6 that God, who began a good work in you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. God is always working in us, if we let him. But my guess is you're like most of us. There's something that God is working on, and you know it. Maybe your ungodly belief is similar to some of mine. I'll always be on the outside looking in. I can't open myself up to rejection again. My favorite, what will they think? I'm better off alone. That way I won't get hurt. No one will understand. I'm too much of a screw-up. I will just end up being a disappointment. Those aren't good beliefs to build your life on. They are not a good foundation. So here's the thing. We have a choice. There are steps we can take to help us tear down ungodly beliefs and start building godly beliefs. We can build on a firm foundation or sinking sand. It's a choice. We need to dig up the lies, fill it with scriptural truth, and start to walk it out. It is a choice. This day I set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. In Deuteronomy, Moses challenged Israel to choose life, to obey God, and to continue to experience his blessings. God doesn't force his will on anyone, The choice is set before us. He lets us decide whether to follow him or reject him. This decision is a life or death matter. God wants us to realize this, for he would like us all to choose life daily. The Bible says that Jesus knocks at the door. It's up to us to answer. It's a choice. And God is so gentle. He won't force us. He'll let us decide. We need to take that personal responsibility. We make the choice to surrender our lives to him, to allow him to work in us. All we have to do is say yes to him. So let's pray. Lord God, I'm grateful for you. I thank you, God, that you have created us in your image and that you desire to set us free from all negative ways in which we view ourselves, others, and you, God. Lord, according to your word in Romans, we can choose to submit to you and be transformed. You will renew our minds. You will establish our thoughts. Lord, help each of us to know that wherever we are in our walk, you are right there beside us. Forgive us for attempting to build on anything or anyone besides you. Lord, you set before us tonight a choice. As we build our lives, help us look to you, Jesus, as our firm foundation, our solid rock, our cornerstone.
God says today, I set before you life and death. Which one will you choose?
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the same.
Your voice to heaven tonight and declare this.
Oh, Christ alone.
You sing it.
Oh, corner. Weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the
together for Jesus tonight. beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. New. So come on up here and stand next to me. I feel like you're a little sweaty, she says. I am 62 years old. I know I don't look like it. And I'll still have those voices. Where's that little? Where's that? Where's that? Where's Alex? Come on up here. I wanna beat on you a little bit in front of everybody. Just come on up here. I'll still have those voices come to me and tell me, who do you think you are? You're no good. You'll never amount to nothing. You can't do this. You can't do that. And I take those voices. I say, oh, yes, I can. God said, I am the head and not the tail. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He says he's going to do exceeding and abundantly above what we could ask or even consider and think. And I felt that tonight. You're such a beautiful young boy. I love you so much. It's hard for you to be that person. But just stand up here with us. I was thinking tonight before Susie ever came up, somewhere during the worship, Ryan just began to pray, and he said the word depression or discouragement. And I felt that tonight, that somebody may be dealing with that. And it could be completely related to you lending too much of your ear to that negative voice. You can call it anything. You can call it, you know, you can call it a demonic voice. You can call it your old flesh nature. Whatever it is, it will take you away from what God has planned for you. I want to pray for you tonight. I just want everybody, if you'd bow your head and close your eyes. Lord, I just want to say thank you for your servant tonight, obeying your word, not only tonight, but in her life. And Lord, praying and believing for so many at certain times couldn't even believe for themselves. God, you have set this servant apart for such a time as this. And I pray for those who are in this house tonight, those who have the tendency to listen to the negative that says they can't, that they won't, that because of something in their past, they can never move forward. I pray that tonight, that the word of the living God would be stronger in their ear and in their mind and in their heart than any other voice could be. I thank you, Lord, that at the cross, you defeated death, hell, and the grave. You destroyed the power of death over our lives. You destroyed the power of failure. You have come against fear. Love cast out all fear. And I thank you for that working in every individual here tonight, Lord. Father, fill every heart. Continue to build in every life, I pray. And Father, I pray, Pastor Vern, come on down here, would you? Just come on down. I want to pray for Pastor Vern. I want to pray for Northgate Church tonight. Stretch your hand out to my friend tonight. Father, I pray for my brother tonight. I pray, God, that you would give him strength beyond his own personal ability. Give him wisdom in your word, God. Give him understanding, God, of spiritual things, Lord. And I pray, God, that this season of his life would be greater than any season that he has ever experienced in his life. Lord, for his family and, Lord, what you have called him to, we pray blessing over his life tonight. Come on, everybody, say, Lord, bless Pastor Vern. Come on, say that. I thank you for his life. Do great things at Northgate in Batavia for the glory of God. We give you praise and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Come on, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Susie, you're amazing. Cheryl was responsible for the drama. Will, it was amazing. Thank you all. Hey, say hi to three or four people on the way out. Bruce and Peggy are in the back. Don't forget, missions dinner tomorrow night. You can get a ticket tonight. And I love you. And Susie, go to the back. Make sure everybody wants to hug you and say hi to you, okay? I love you. God bless you.